Well, good morning again. Thank you so much again for your generosity. It feels like I've been celebrating this birthday for about a month now. I think time has come to say we've celebrated. I have to embrace being 60. We need to move on. Had a great time trying to get into my office on Wednesday morning. Been barricaded by all sorts of streamers and filled with balloons and real boy stuff, actually. Really good. And then a weekend away with June in with an organisation called quirkycampers.co.uk. Little old camper van, with the emphasis on old. 33 years old, no power steering, but boy, we had a great time, we had great fun, really good. Thank you so much for your generosity. Great to be able to celebrate these things with my church family as well. In the context of your generosity, we're going to talk about money this morning. God's obviously got a sense of humour. And the question that I want you just to think about as we begin this sort of mini-series, which Chris kicked us off on last week, just thinking about faith and or generosity. But the question I want us to think about as we get into the Bible passage this morning is this question, really. How do you feel about money right now? How do you feel about money right now? Right where you're sitting, okay? Right where you're thinking. How do you feel about it right now? You don't have to shout out the answer. I'll make some suggestions, and I'll probably see a few heads nodding as I make some suggestions. There are some of us this morning, I suspect, would rather not talk about this at all. We just don't want to talk about money. It's got some quite negative connotations for us. Maybe you're struggling with money this morning. Maybe you're struggling with debt. Maybe you're finding it difficult to make a mortgage payment. Maybe when we mention the word money, it just conjures up horrible memories of difficult conversations and arguments that you've had over the year about money. It causes you to stay awake at night. It worries you. So how you feel about money this morning, actually, my answer to that question is probably not very good. I suspect that describes some of us sitting here this morning. And then perhaps there are others, you're in a very different place when it comes to money this morning. You've got enough, sufficient money for what you need to do. And it gives you the ability, doesn't it, to embrace new opportunities and new experiences. And to some extent, money offers you comfort and security. It enables you to have the things that you want. And having enough money enables you to sleep quite well at night. So you're feeling pretty okay about money this morning. But then we start to talk about money as Christians and money as the followers of Jesus, and we know in our heads, don't we, that God calls us to give money away. And that's what that little leaflet that Chris was holding up a few minutes ago was all about. It gives us some principles that God gives us as to how we can give our money away. We know that in our heads, and we have conversations with ourselves about how much should we keep and how much we should give away, how much should we save. So how we're feeling about money right now is probably quite a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Because it helps us just to zero in on some things that Jesus is going to say to us from this passage this morning. I want you to come back to Matthew chapter 6. Open your Bibles, if you will, and look at that passage that we just read together on page 971. Because I want to swap this question around this morning. So rather than asking how we feel about money, I want to swap the question around and put it like this. How does Jesus want you and me to feel about our money? Because, you see, that's the question which we're going to look at in this passage this morning. So if you've got it open in front of you, you will see with me some of the things which Jesus says to us about our money. Now, it might surprise you to realize that the Bible has a lot more to say about money than we perhaps first think about. For example, almost half of Jesus' parables have to do with money and possessions. That's a lot, isn't it? 50% of Jesus' stories were about money and possessions. About 10% of the Gospels address money and possessions. And taking the Bible as a whole, there are around 2,000 verses in the Bible about money and possessions. It seems that there's something about money and possessions that God wants us to be clear about. But let's be honest. We do find this stuff about money very difficult to talk about, don't we? It's a difficult topic of conversation. We battle to use our money well. We despair when it seems to slip through our fingers. We can identify with the comedian who said, "Money talks, but mostly it says to me, goodbye." And I can tell you that's exactly how I feel with my daughter getting married next Saturday. A lot of money saying goodbye at the moment, slipping through the fingers. We want to give her a wonderful day. But what does Jesus have to teach us about money? Well, let's come back to this passage that we read together out loud. That was great, Chris, the way we did that this morning. We read the Bible together out loud. What we have in front of us this morning is just a tiny portion of what's described as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' manifesto for his kingdom. Jesus sits his disciples down and says, this is what it's like to belong to the kingdom of God. This is how you are to live. These are the things which are to be important to you. And in this particular section of Jesus' sermon, which starts in Matthew 5 and runs all the way down to the end of Matthew 7, Jesus concentrates on the subject of money. Nicky Gumbel, who many of you know from Alpha territory, writes this in his book Challenging Lifestyles. And he writes this about this particular passage that we're going to look at together this morning. He writes this, if we grasp Jesus' teaching in this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount, it will transform our lives. I wonder, do you think that when you come to the Bible on a Sunday morning, what you're going to look at has the potential to transform your life? That's what Nicky Gumbel writes here. And he goes on to say this, he says it will affect our security, it will affect our vision, and ultimately it will affect our relationship with God. Yet few people seem to have caught hold of what Jesus is saying. And my prayer this week is that we will catch hold of what Jesus is saying in these verses. Now, grab your Bible, have it open in front of you. There are three really significant things which Jesus says about money in this passage. And here's the first one, it comes in verses 19 to 21. That money has the power to distort our entire lives, our entire worldview. Everything about our life can be distorted by our love of money. And Jesus is a great teacher. So he identifies two kinds of treasure. If you look at verses 19 and 20, you'll see that he draws these comparisons. He does a number, three different comparisons in the verses that we're going to look at this morning. But here's the first one, treasure on earth and treasure in heaven. Verse 19, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But instead, says Jesus, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now we need to understand something really important here. When Jesus is using the word heaven in this passage, he's not just talking about the life that is to come, wonderful though that is. He's actually talking about life in the here and now, living in the kingdom of God, living according to kingdom values. That's the contrast he's making. Living for this world or living for God's kingdom, which has already begun in the here and now. Now, our natural inclination is to store up treasures on earth, isn't it? Because it gives us a certain sense of security. It gives us a tangible form of power. So, for example, money gives you the power to walk into a restaurant and to order a meal that someone will cook for you and someone will wash up for you. Quite a nice feeling, actually, isn't it, to go out for a meal and enjoy that kind of experience. But it gives us a certain sense of power. Money gives you the power to walk into a shop and to buy something that you want. Money gives you the power to transfer someone else's ownership into your ownership. And money gives us the power to live in a certain place and to live at a certain standard. It carries with us a certain amount of power. In many ways, money is simply bartering without the goats. We've just moved on a little bit, really. We've become a little bit more sophisticated as a society. And most societies now measure your success by how much money you have. That's just how it is. So why is it that money has this ability to exert so much power over us? Well, look at verse 21. Jesus puts it like this. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, most of you are familiar, I guess, with the idea of ice-breaking games, aren't you? You know, you got a group of people who don't know each other very well, you get them in one room and you ask them this question, and the question's designed to help them to reveal something about themselves, and you get to know each other that little bit better. Here's a great question for an icebreaker. If you're able to keep only one of your possessions, what would it be? That certainly reveals a lot about ourselves. I did that with somebody recently, and someone was brave enough to say, do you know what, my most valued possession is my wallet. I thought, boy, you're an honest man. But that, in a sense, is what Jesus is saying here, isn't he? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure's in your wallet, he says, that's where your heart's going to be. If that's your most valued possession, he says, that's where your heart's going to be. And if money becomes our treasure, according to Jesus in these verses, it is going to distort our entire lives. It will store everything about life. And one of the reasons we find money so attractive is because it can give us significance. It can make us feel good about ourselves. It allows us to live in a certain place. And it allows us to live in a certain way. And it allows us to dress in a certain way and to take a certain kind of holiday and to decorate our homes in a certain way. And money gives us that sense of significance and worth. We can do great things with it to make ourselves feel good. And it can also make us feel really secure. We think to ourselves, you know, if I have enough money, then I'm thinking to myself, well, then I can have some control in an uncontrollable world. I was reading just this week of Americans who are queuing up at the moment to buy nuclear-proof homes for the price of £17.5 million each. That is one way in which people use money to give them a certain sense of security. Because money has the ability to exercise real power over our lives at all kinds of levels, and Jesus shows us why by taking us back to heart level and showing us that our hearts will always pursue what we value as our treasure. That our attitude towards money is going to reveal an awful lot about our hearts. It's like that icebreaker game. What's the most treasured possession? This guy says my wallet. And here in this passage, Jesus calls us out and he challenges us to think seriously about the power that money exerts over us and says to us, are you storing up treasure for yourself on earth? Or are you storing up for yourself treasure in heaven, where Jesus is not talking about the life that's to come, but he's talking about life in the here and now, lived in the presence of a loving God, recognizing that all that we have comes to us as a gift from God and belongs to him in the first place. Now let's be very straight about this passage. Jesus is not telling us to give all our money away. He's not saying that. He's not saying that it's wrong to invest money. He's not saying that it's wrong to make money. He's not saying that it's wrong to save. Jesus is not concerned about our wealth. He's concerned about our hearts. He's concerned about our love of money and the power that money exerts over us, because he knows that money has the power to distort our entire lives. That's the first point that I think Jesus is making in these verses. It is that powerful that it can actually distort everything about our lives. And Jesus says in verse 21, here's the test that my disciples need to make. Where is your heart leading you when it comes to money? There's the first point, verses 19 to 21. Treasure on earth, treasure in heaven. The second point that Jesus makes in verses 22 and 23 is equally challenging, where he's going to say this to us, that money has the power to blind us spiritually. Jesus moves to another set of contrasts. So the first set of contrasts, treasure in heaven, treasure on earth. The second contrast is between eyesight that works well and eyesight that doesn't work well at all. Look at verses 22 and 23. If the eye is the lamp of the body, verse 22, and if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. Now we know what that means, don't we? Like me, lots of you this morning are sitting there wearing glasses. And you know that you need to wear your glasses in order to see things clearly, don't you? And if I take my glasses off this morning, you all dissolve into kind of little colourful blobs. Which is quite pretty, actually, when I look around this morning. But I can't see anything clearly until I'm looking properly through my glasses. That's in a sense of what Jesus is saying here. He says he wants us to see that there is a particular way that we need to see money. Look at verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of your body. He says, if your eyes are good, then your whole body will be full of light. Now we get that, don't we, from a physical perspective. So there's light in this room. The light in this room enables us to see properly. It allows us to move around this room without bumping into each other and without stumbling and falling over. We understand how that works. If our eyesight is not working well, we will be stumbling around in the darkness, we will be bumping into each other, and we will be falling all over the place. We will just bump into everyone. And what Jesus is doing here, he takes that understanding of physical eyesight and says, we're talking spiritually about how you see money, how God wants you to see money. That's what this passage is about. He's talking about our spiritual eyesight, and in particular, the need to see and understand money from God's point of view. So verse 23, if you look at it, Jesus says, if your eyes are focused on money, he says, God's revelation light cannot penetrate your thinking, and you will only see things from your own point of view. You will be like, you are in total darkness, is what Jesus says here at the end of verse 23. It's like that moment when you get a power cut on a dark night and you're at home and all the lights go out And you suddenly realize just how dark it really is. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says money has the power to put out the light spiritually. And here Jesus is offering us a new way of seeing things. He's offering a new way of seeing the money that we have. It's a question of vision. If we have good physical vision, says Jesus, we can see what we're doing. If we have good spiritual vision, says Jesus, we will understand that, money has the power to actually leave us in the dark spiritually, because money is so powerful that it can actually distort the way we see money. Which, according to Jesus in verse 23, will leave us wandering around in the dark. So what has Jesus been saying to us about money in this passage? Well, two really powerful things already, okay? First thing that Jesus has said to us is that money has the power to distort our entire lives. Don't underestimate the power that money can have over us. And the second thing that Jesus has been saying, which is on the screen behind me, is that Jesus has the power to, that money has the power to blind us spiritually. And the final thing that Jesus says in this passage about money in verse 24 is this, that money is so powerful that it actually has the power to separate us from God. Jesus puts it in the line. Look at the end of verse 24 and see with me how Jesus puts it. It is pretty stark, isn't it? You cannot serve both God and money. We don't particularly like those kind of statements in Scripture. We kind of like a kind of middle way. We sort of like the third way, which is not quite so challenging. But Jesus lays it straight out for us and says, actually, you know what? You can't have this both ways. Now, I think there's a gentleness in what Jesus is saying here. And in particular, the way that he says it, I think he's saying this to us. Look, he's saying, look, let's just think about this for a minute. This stuff that we call money has real power about it. It has power to distort your entire lifestyle, your entire way of thinking, your entire way of seeing things. And he says, don't allow this stuff to blind you spiritually. Don't allow this stuff to distort your lives and your lifestyle. Don't fall into the trap of exchanging the worship of money for the worship of God. It won't work that way. I can almost hear Jesus pleading with us. Not being created that way. God has created you to worship him, not to worship money. It's not how you've been created. It's not what God wants for you. It all boils down to a question of worship. Who are we worshiping? And Jesus has been exposing the power of money in these verses. He's saying to us something like this. He says, money is like a boss. It is that powerful that it will boss you around. It will tell you what to do. It literally can enslave you. And there is only one way that you can break the power that money has over you. And Jesus says, there is a deliberate choice that you have to make. You can't serve God and you cannot serve money at the same time. Some of you may have read the book or seen the film Lord of the Rings. And you know, if you've ever seen that film or read the book, that at the center of the film is this ring that's referred to as the precious. And whoever has that ring has the precious. And that in many ways is what Jesus is saying to us here, that at the center of all our lives lies the precious. Something that says, if I have this one thing, then everything will be all right. And Jesus says, you need to be really careful with this money stuff because it has the power to separate you from God. Let's read verse 24 again. Jesus says, and I want you to hear a kind of pleading in this from Jesus. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one or you will love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's not how you've been created. It's not what God wants for you. It won't work. It will not satisfy you. Sometimes money's been described as trying to drink salty seawater. And the more you drink of it, the more you need to drink. The more money you have, the more money you need. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. The love of money, says Jesus, is in direct opposition to the kingdom of God. Because the Christian faith, we're going to see in a few minutes as we come to communion, points us, the person of Jesus Christ, to the one who had ultimate status, the one who had ultimate power, ultimate security, and yet humbled himself and gave up absolutely everything. who chose to serve God even though it drove him to the cross, who lost all of his treasure so that you and I could become his treasure. And Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. It will not work. And faith in Jesus Christ offers us with a stark choice when it comes to our money. There's a gentle firmness from Jesus in these verses. It won't work that way. You will never experience life in all of its fullness if you decide to worship money and turn your back on the living God. I think it's really significant that in this passage, just a few verses earlier, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, we want you to teach us how to pray. And just a few verses back in chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus says to his disciples, this is how you are to pray to your God who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. That is the kind of relationship that Jesus wants us to have with the living God. We are to call God our Father, our Abba, our Daddy in heaven. And then Jesus says to us, you're to pray like this, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here Jesus helps us to see what that looks like when it comes to our money. So how can we know if we've been set free from the power of money? How can we check that out this morning? Three very simple tests that we can take. Here's the first one. The first one goes like this. How do you react to people who have more than you have? Another one of those searching questions, really, isn't it? Because how you answer that question will determine whether or not money still has power over your life, or whether Jesus has become your treasure. Do we look at those who have more than us and we envy what they have? Say, if only I had that. If only I have that kind of money, if only I had that kind of house, that kind of holiday. We look at those who have more than us and think like that, then money still has an awful lot of power over our lives. Jesus has not become our treasure. Flip the question around. How do I react to people who have less than me? Do I look down on people who have less than me? Do I have less respect for people who have less than I have? If I think like that, then money really has a grip over my life still. Jesus has not yet become my treasure. And a final question we can ask in the light of this passage this morning. How generous am I with my money? Look what Jesus says in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, if your eyes are generous, is actually a literal translation. If your eyes are generous, your whole body will be generous. Jesus is talking in the context of money. If we've discovered that Jesus is our treasure, then we will have a generous eye. If we see ourselves as God's treasured possessions, if we've made a decision to love God rather than money, then we will be people who are generous with our money, because God will have broken the power that money has over us, because we know it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to him. So we will be looking for ways to use our money for the benefit of others. We will be looking for ways to give our money away to our friends, to our neighbors, to our church, for the poor, for our local community. It means that we will always be looking for ways to give things away. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If Jesus truly is our treasure, we will be able to look at people who have more than us and love them well. And not envy. If Jesus truly is our treasure, we better look at people who have less than us and never find ourselves in a situation of looking down on other people, because ultimately our treasure is in Jesus Christ. And we will be people who are generous with our money. Let's be clear what Jesus is not saying here as we conclude. Jesus is not saying that you cannot earn a living. He is not saying that you need to give everything away. He's not saying that we cannot be rich. He's not saying that we can't be talented. He's not saying that we can't have things. He's simply saying this to us. He says, things and money cannot have you. Because if we go down that road, one day we will discover that we belong to our possessions and that our money and our possessions own us. That's the challenge of this passage. Is it any wonder we find it difficult to talk about money when you come to a passage like this? Many people shy away from this passage because of the things that it says to us. But hopefully, like me, you've glimpsed this morning just how powerful this stuff can be, just how much power it can exert over our lives. Let me remind you what we've looked at together this morning. We have seen, haven't we, that money is powerful enough to distort our entire lives. That's what Jesus says. It's that powerful. Choices to store up treasures on earth, store up treasures in heaven. Jesus is saying to us, money is powerful enough to blind us spiritually. What kind of eyesight have we got this morning? Spiritually, when it comes to money. He says it's powerful enough even to separate us from God. If you choose to worship God, rather worship money rather than God, you've turned your back on the living God. So let's come back to what we started with, this quotation from Nicky Gumbel. If we grasp Jesus' teaching in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, it will transform our lives. Can you see that sense of that as you look at this passage this morning? It will affect our security. It will affect our vision. And ultimately, says Jesus, it will affect our relationship with God. Yet few people seem to have caught hold of what Jesus is saying, which quite simply is this: you can't have it both ways. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's just sit with that for a moment. You cannot serve both God and money. And ask yourself the question as we sit for a few moments: God, what are you saying to me through this passage this morning about my money, about my resources, about the stuff that I have? What are you saying to me about how I see people who've got more than me, people who've got less than me? What are you saying to me about my heart in terms of its generosity? Are you really saying to me that actually what I have belongs to you and not to me? Seems to be what Jesus is saying. So let's sit quietly for a few moments, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer that comes out of this passage. Some quiet moments. You cannot serve with God. And what's God saying to you this morning? Let's be quiet. Let's ask God's Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us, because he will if we invite him. And he will tell us something very specific from this passage this morning. So let's be quiet. Let's invite God's Spirit to speak to us. And let's hear what God wants to say to us by his Spirit this morning. Just a few quiet moments. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Father, we have heard the gentle but firm words of Jesus to us this morning. Jesus says your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. And so we pray, help us to stockpile heavenly treasure that cannot be stolen and will never rust or decay or lose its value. Jesus has said, if your eyes are focused on money, how profound the darkness will be if the light of truth cannot enter in. And so we pray, Father, may the eyes of our spirit allow your revelation light to enter into our being and let your amazing light flood in. Jesus asks us, how can you worship two gods at the same time? You cannot worship the true God while enslaved to the God of money. And so we pray, by your Holy Spirit's power, set us free from the destructive power of money and lead us instead to worship the true and living God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.